Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? I don't know if it was just me. Did you guys feel like it was a little bit warmer this morning than it's been the last week? And my wife woke up before me this morning. She was like, "It's warm outside. Let's go pray outside." So it felt like a summer morning. We prayed outside, and very grateful for a little bit of warmth. But obviously powerful images from Kiev. Obviously those of you who have given or are going to be giving, thank you so much for that. I think it's always difficult to hear about and to see not only another country, but also a fellow church just really going through a difficult time. Today we're going to be doing part three of a four-part series that we've been focusing on, really on healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, how to find it from God, how to get it from one another. If you are joining with us today for the first time, you've obviously missed out on a couple of points already. We've actually made, I counted them, 14 points on healing already up until this point in time. And I think part of the reason is there's just so much to talk about. It's such a deep topic. It's such a personal topic. There's really no way that we could really do justice to what you and I need on an individual level when it comes to healing, just through some sermons. But I think we can all agree that spiritual healing, emotional healing, it's important. It's necessary, and it's great to talk about it. We all get hurt. We've all been hurt. We know people who right now are hurting. And if you're here with us for the first time, just as a kind of a 10-second recap, some of the key points that we've looked at is this idea that you've got if you've got a wound, it needs to heal, otherwise it's going to get worse. And just wrestling with this idea of yes, we get hurt, but we also as people and as disciples need to know how to heal so that our wounds and our hurts don't get worse with time, which they so easily do. We looked at how pretending is not helpful, that we've got these defense mechanisms, that we put up walls, we pretend that we're okay, but that's not actually helping you get better. You may look like you're getting better, but it's not helping you, that there's healing processes that need to happen. And last week, we looked at one of those healing elements, that of acceptance, and just how acceptance is such a key part of us healing, that for us to have a safe place where we can show our weakness, where we can show and expose our wounds and still feel loved, it just goes a long way towards helping us heal. And today we're going to have a look at honesty and how honesty helps us heal. And then what we're going to do next week, which I'm very excited about, is Greg's going to be teaching us about time. And I think it's also an interesting one. How does time fit in? You know, there's an old saying, time heals all wounds. Well, that's true and not true. And so Greg's going to be looking at that next week, and I think it's going to be a great class. So, you know, emotions are a great blessing and a great curse. You know, as a blessing, it's a wonderful feeling to be able to experience love, isn't it? It's just this wonderful feeling to experience joy, to be able to connect with one another in relationship. That emotions, they allow us to connect with our children or with our family or with our friends. Emotions help us to experience grief. Now, I categorize that under the good things about emotions, because grief is we don't want it, we don't wish to experience grief. But experiencing grief is actually part of the healing process. That if you are able to experience grief, and it's a gift from God, that if you are able to experience grief, you are able to work through your hurts. And so, you know, that emotion, as difficult as it can be at times, is really such a powerful and a wonderful blessing from God. And, you know, emotions, they also have a negative side. That at times, our emotions can really cloud our brains. They can cloud our judgment. Emotions are a thing that we can get consumed by. don't know if you've ever experienced that before, where you're just feeling so much emotion, you cannot see clearly. You get consumed by it. And in those moments of confusion, or those moments of cloudiness, what can so easily happen is you can take steps away from healing because of those emotions. And it's at those times where acceptance is only a part of the healing process. That there's something else that we need to have along with acceptance and along with love to help put us right. And that's what we're going to be looking at today: healing honesty. Let's pray, and then we'll get into our first point. Holy Father, as we look today, as we look this morning at honesty and the role that it plays in healing, God, I pray that each one of us will open up our hearts to the Scriptures and to Your Spirit, God, and please compensate for my great many weaknesses as we look through a number of different points on honesty. And God, it's such a key part of You. I love it in John 8, where Jesus says that the truth will set you free. And God, honesty and truth is just something we need so desperately. And this morning, as we look at that under the umbrella of healing, please show us Your parts. God, we love You. Pray in Your Son's name. Amen. We're just going to have a look at a couple of points this morning. The first one on healing honesty is that the truth hurts and heals. You know, sometimes things need to get more painful before they get better. In medicine, one of the terms for that is surgery. You know, taking someone who's got a problem to a doctor who's supposed to make things better, and they pull out a knife, put you to sleep, and chop you up. I mean, you know, that's really what surgery is, isn't it? And yet, you know, the whole idea of surgery is, in this chopping, the goal is, in the long run, that you'll be better after than you were before. And I've been for surgery before. It's not a pleasant experience. But I think emotionally, we need surgery as well sometimes. Sometimes we need to hear things from one another that are painful, that are difficult to hear, that, you know, we don't want to get chopped up, but sometimes we actually need that. You know, I've had a number of spiritual surgeries, emotional surgeries over the years, conversations about pretty much every area of my life. I've had surgeries about my preaching, my leadership, my parenting, my role as a husband, about my finances, about my pride many times, about my selfishness, my discipline. There is a long list, difficult surgeries about who I am and what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. There's a very long list, and each one of those surgeries was difficult but necessary. It's a passage in Ecclesiastes 7 that we've heard many times before. And there's one verse that stands out, I think, that's relevant here. Is in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7. It says, "There is a time to tear and a time to mend." And there are times in our lives where we need parts of us to be broken down a little bit in order for us to build something better on top. And I'm one of those people, I don't like to see old buildings get torn down. And I appreciate, you know, a country like South Africa, where there's certain heritage sites where you just can't do anything, you're not allowed to bash them down, they need to stay the way that they are. But there are certainly some buildings where I look and I'm very grateful that they're remodeling. Okay, I think there was a period in architecture, I don't know, there's sometimes you look at the 70s architecture where it's kind of, they're trying to be modern and it just didn't work out, and I don't know, it's just, sometimes I'm grateful to see those getting bashed down, but that's what we need sometimes, is the old self to be torn down in a painful process of honesty in order for us to mend. And My wife is very gracious with my weaknesses. Way too gracious, and she has to put up with a lot. And I remember hearing someone talk about my kind of personality type, and they say, that personality type can be fun as a friend, not always so easy to live with. And, she's had to put up with my pride, with being inconsiderate, insensitive. I'm not always the most, kind of emotionally aware. And she doesn't do it often. But every now and again, she has a conversation with me in order to really help me see myself. And I hate those conversations. And, when she says, hey, can we talk about something? Immediately I'm like, oh boy. And every part of me is like, can I think of a reason why this is not a good time? Obviously I've learned that that's not a good thing to be thinking. But, I internalize so much as it is. Remember, I'm a conflict avoider. I'm deceived. I avoid issues. And so, there's a lot of stuff sitting inside. And when these conversations start, every part of me is like, I don't want to hear this. It's going to make me feel discouraged. It's going to make me feel sad. I don't like hearing where I've messed up. I know I mess up all the time, but I don't want to hear it from you. And yet, as tough as those conversations have been over the years, they have never, not once, ceased to make me a better person. Honesty, as hard as it is healing. And we can get it from so many places. We looked before at how people are really God's plan A. But it's not just from people. We can get such amazing honesty from our consciences, from the Holy Spirit. We can get honesty from the Scriptures, from circumstances. In Hebrews 4, it'll come up on the screen. It says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. There's a huge amount of honesty that we can receive directly from God through the Scriptures. And you can be going through stuff. You can be going through hurt. You can be going through all kinds of things. There is stuff in the Scriptures that you do not want to read in those moments. I've had times in my life when I've been going through a real a dip, and I've literally taken my Bible and put stuff on top of it next to my bed so that I don't see it. Because I know what it says. And I don't want to deal with what the Bible has to say to me. It's kind of one of the curses of reading the Bible a lot. Is ignorance ceases to be an excuse for you. And, Hebrews 4, it's such a powerful passage. How it teaches, and I don't think it's a perfect analogy of the Scriptures. But how at times the Bible literally works like a spiritual scalpel. It's described here as a double-edged sword. Penetrating, cutting you open, dividing you up, judging the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. It's like an operation where you've got something wrong, something that needs to be taken out. Maybe you've got a growth or a tumor, and the doctor comes with their sword, their little but extremely sharp sword. And, they want to cut it out. And if you've had an operation before, it is not nice. You don't want to be there. You don't want to have this conversation. It's horrible. And they chop parts of you off. And it takes a long time to get better. And it's everything about it at the time feels bad. But when you are declared, God willing, declared healthy afterwards, you're grateful. And that's the scriptures. There to literally cut bad stuff out of your life, and you complain and you hate it and you don't want it. But it makes you spiritually healthy. You know, if you are hurting or struggling to find your way, don't run away from facing the Bible. It'll tell you things that you don't want to hear. It'll hurt you. You will wrestle with it. You'll be angry, but it'll help you. You know, there's some very healing things in the Bible. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Now, when someone has hurt you, you don't want to hear that. You want to hear that it's okay to feel angry with them. You want to, and again, you know, if there's a process of anger you need to go through, that's okay. But in the end, the scriptures are very clear on how you need to feel about those who hurt you. The Bible says, and in Jesus' own words, that you need to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Oh, it's like one thing, okay, I'll forget, we won't see each other, it's over. It's a whole nother level to pray for them and to pray good things on those who hurt you. The Bible says, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Again, when we hold on to the bad, when we feel justified in our hurt and in our pain to hold on to certain sins, it's hard to hear that. That Jesus expects, no matter what, for you to let go of those things. You know, many years ago, I wanted to fight the Bible. I've had a couple of wrestles with the Bible over the years. Make no mistake, when there's certain things that I don't understand, I wrestle and I read and I look at scriptures, and it's just part of, I guess it's part of the journey, isn't it? And I remember being sat down and looking through a whole bunch of scriptures on what it means to be a Christian, a disciple. And we looked and we wrestled and I read many scriptures. And at the end of the day, the conclusion or the concluding question, the surgery came in the form of this question. Would Jesus call you his disciple? Now, there's a big difference between that and do I think I'm a Christian? Would Jesus, according to the scriptures, according to the things that he said, right now, would Jesus call you a disciple? And I just couldn't argue with what I saw in the scriptures and what I knew about myself. And so the answer was no. And I remember exactly where I was sitting when I had that conversation. And I remember to this day exactly how I was feeling as I walked out of the door. I remember I walked out of the door and I turned left. Don't know why I remember that, but I remember that. And I remember being sad. It was like one of those, you know, I was just alone. I felt alone in the world. That I just come to admit something that I had no idea was true. And that little bit of truth, that little bit of honesty, literally changed the course of my life. Because at that point, I was given the opportunity to make a decision. Do I want to make the changes that I need to in my relationship with God? Or am I going to kind of, you know, put my head in the sand and put my head under the blanket and hope for the best? The truth, it hurts, but it heals. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you open to hearing healing honesty in your life? I think some of you are scared. Scared of the truth. Scared of hearing things that you know are there, but you don't want to hear it from someone else. You're okay to hear it from yourself, but you don't want to hear it from someone else. And I think some of those fears are legitimate. You're scared of being hurt more. If you're hurting, who wants to be hurt more when you're already hurting? I think they're legitimate. It's okay to be scared of feeling even more overwhelmed. Life is overwhelming. Things are hectic. Do we want to really put ourselves in a position when we're hearing things that will almost guaranteed make you feel more overwhelmed? Absolutely. It's scary. But you know what? Sometimes you need that cut in order to heal. That your life maybe is going in circles and it's overwhelmed and it's day after day. And sometimes you need that surgery to pull you through. Church, I want to encourage you, embrace the pain of spiritual surgery. To avoid the pain, to run away from the pain, to not be open to the pain, the one that's going to be hurting is you. Second point is that honesty shows us the way. You know, Jeremiah 17, this passage applies to me in every possible way. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You know that I have, and I certainly don't think I'm the only one here, I have this inbuilt mix of emotion and pride that completely clouds my judgment pretty much most of the time. And so often, I just lose my way. I get confused. I head off on funny tangents. And it's interesting. I think even the most self-aware of us, I think, struggle with this. We all have a certain amount of pride, a certain amount of emotion that just can pull us off the path that God wants for us. And you know what? What honesty from people and honesty from the Bible does is it helps us to separate what is real from what is not real. And if you understand your emotions, you'll know that a lot of your emotions are not real. Feels very real, but they're not real. How often have you, in your pain, found yourself blaming someone? And sometimes it's someone from many years ago. Sometimes you find yourself blaming the closest person to you. Maybe it's replaying scenarios in your head. Maybe it's making assumptions, thinking, okay, man, if they did this, then this would happen. Or if, you know, if they just didn't do that, then I would feel a little bit different. And it's in this space of blaming and making assumptions that you can so easily go down the path of bitterness. And you know, when you hold on to those feelings, you hold on, if you hold on too tight, you get dragged through the mud. And it feels horrible and it's difficult but when you're holding on, when you want to blame, when you want it to be someone else's fault, when you want someone else to be responsible for how you're feeling, you get dragged through the mud. And what God wants is for you to be able to let go. To be able to in sometimes act of a miracle, to be able to move on. And again, it's different for each one of us. But living a lie is never healthy. Sometimes living a lie feels better for a while, but it's never healthy. It's never healthy to be happily on the wrong path. Because eventually, you'll be so far from where you need to go that you struggle to see the way back. You know, part of healing is hearing those kind of things. To hear that whoever hurt you didn't do it on purpose. It's like, man, if you're like me, that's a hard one to stomach. It's like, man, but I know they did it on purpose. How can you say they didn't do it on purpose? And the words of Jesus really, they impact me so much. He's there hanging on the cross. Just had nails stuck through his hand. He's bleeding. And what does he say? He says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing. What, did they accidentally nail him to the cross? Of course they knew what they were doing. But Jesus, in his infinite mercy and spiritual perspective, was able to say, no, they do not know what they are doing. You know, if you are told that you need to let someone off the hook, it can be a hard one. To wrestle with letting your parents or someone who had done something to you many years ago off the hook, it's just a hard one to deal with. It's hard to forgive people that make this world so unjust. make this world so difficult, so full of pain. It's hard to let go, and it's hard to grapple with the fact that people didn't know any better. It's hard to grapple with the fact that the world is a fallen world. That's why we need Jesus, because there's pain, because we hurt each other. It's hard to grapple with that sometimes. It's hard to hear that you've been ungrateful. And yet, how often do we need to hear that? Man, look at what you've been given, not what's been taken away from you. It's hard to hear that your self-pity is hurting the people around you when you feel so justified to feel that way. It's hard to hear that sometimes things happen for no reason. There's no way to make sense of it. It's hard to hear that sometimes. You know, when a bone breaks, what doctors do is they splint it up so that the bone can grow back in the right way. And that's what truth does. Hearing the truth sometimes when you're hurting, it's hard, but you want to grow back in the right way. You want to grow and heal and go through a process of healing. Sometimes it'll take decades, but you want it to happen in the right way and in the right direction. And that doesn't always happen automatically. That's why we need splints. That's why we need honesty. You know, there's a picture that'll come up on the screen now, and I don't want to go into detail. It kind of popped up onto, so maybe a little bit small for you to read. But, you know, as I was meditating and praying and thinking through this lesson, this came up. I think it was on Facebook. Someone posted it. And it's so powerful. It talks about victim behaviors and accountable behaviors. And there's a red line. Below the red line, you live in a state of being a victim. I can't. I'm making excuses, blaming others. And there's a point that you reach where you can start making decisions to build. And on that red line there, acknowledge reality. And that's where honesty comes in. Is that you can be sitting there in this you know, this horrible space, and sometimes you just need the Bible, sometimes you just need someone to come into your life and help you acknowledge reality. In your emotions, you can't always see this. And so you stay below the line there, waiting, making excuses, blaming in your emotions. And sometimes you need people to help you see things differently. To be able to say, hey, wait, let's have a look at this from a different perspective. Let's help you move forward here so that you can heal. Third and final point, and they're obviously all connected, is wounds from a friend. You know, last week we spoke about acceptance and how acceptance is so necessary. To have a space of love, an environment of love and acceptance is part of healing for us. But we make a mistake by thinking that that's the only thing that we need, is we just need acceptance. We just need a safe place. That's the only thing. In Proverbs 27, it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, having friends who not only will be that safe place and who will not only accept you the way that you are, but will also be honest with you is an amazing blessing. And I think sometimes we forget that is not something that everyone has. I think we get a little bit spoiled in the kingdom here. That, you know, having a friend who love you for all of your sin and all of your weaknesses is amazing. But to have a friend who, in that space, will also say, hey, listen, you're on the wrong path here. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And you know what? When a friend of yours inflicts this kind of surgery on you, it can be trusted. As wounds from a friend can be trusted. And one of the biggest things that I had to wrestle with throughout my Christian life is the idea that honesty and grace are actually inseparable. They're not two separate things. They are the same things. And one of my biggest natural weaknesses is that I naturally see grace without truth as being kind. What I mean by that is I naturally see my kindest action is just to be nice. That's how I feel. That's my worldview. That's how I see life naturally. Is being nice is the best thing, the nicest thing that I can do for you. And yet Jesus over the years has taught me that there's so much more to that. In John 1 verse 14, it'll come up, describing Jesus. It says, the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. Talking about Jesus, says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That Jesus wasn't 50-50 grace and truth. He was full of grace and full of truth. And it's one of the things that really set Jesus apart, that as you look at him, he was just so full of mercy. He would hang out with the sinners when no one else would. And yet he would say the things that no one else wanted to hear and no one else would say. You know, Jesus didn't separate acceptance and honesty. He didn't make them two separate things. They were one thing. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to imitate, isn't it? Sometimes we either want to be one or the other, kind of like a good cop or a bad cop. You know, either we want to be the acceptance, you know, say whatever you want, I won't judge you, a space of non-judgment, that's what I want to be, and someone else can deal with the surgery. Or we want to be the surgeon. It's like, man, I don't have time to be your friend, but let me tell you what I think. It's just, you know, there's this kind of this good cop, bad cop, you know, duality about us. And that's where the scripture is so important, is that it's wounds from a friend. It's, yes, surgery, but yes, love and friendship. It's both of them. You know, we cannot separate those two things in order to be a true friend. And again, that's what I've had to wrestle with, is in order for me to actually be a friend, being nice is not enough. A true friend is also honest. You know, I'm a naturally sentimental kind of guy. And one of the hardest things that I ever heard as a young Christian was that Jesus was not sentimental. I was like, man, but of course he was. I mean, he was kind of, you know, he was a nice guy. And you know, but you don't see kind of Jesus carrying scrapbooks or, you know, and again, nothing wrong with scrapbooks. I have scrapbooks. But, you know, he was, hey, if you want to follow me, follow me. If you don't want to follow me, don't follow me. It is your decision. I will not force you. And there was just this amazing love, but also not sentimental. And that's what happens. If we take truth out of our feelings, then we become sentimental. We become mushy. And we lose one of the things that made Jesus so amazing. You know, before we go around cutting each other up with scalpels, let me just say a few words about honesty here and how we handle it. I think honesty needs to be handled with wisdom. That not everyone is a surgeon. Okay? Sometimes, you know, kind of shaky hands heading into surgery, you're like, man, just don't cut me. Okay? You'll cut the wrong thing. But, you know, wanting to help someone who's hurting by being honest with them is a great heart. But you need to be wise about a couple of things. You need to be wise about whether you're the right person for it. And you also need to be wise about the timing of when you say what you want to say. You know, if you don't have a relationship with someone, be careful about dishing out advice. I'm not saying don't do it. Sometimes you're the road to Damascus experience that they were wanting. Okay? But just think before, pray before you act. Okay? Maybe you're the right person at the wrong time and you just need to wait and understand that honesty needs to be bubbled in grace. There needs to be an experience of love when you're honest. You know, I've seen a lot of parents, and I myself have done this many times, losing that connection with their kids in this space. It's kind of one of those things when you see your kid doing something silly and they fall and you run up to them. And what do you say? Why were you doing that? Now again, your amazing intellect is many generations ahead of your five-year-old. But sometimes when your kid falls, they don't need to hear that they were really stupid. And yet we do that, don't we? Or your kid says, man, I'm feeling so hungry. And what do you say? But you just ate. It's like, let's just throw on all the honesty. And yet, again, what you said is true. But shouldn't the first thing that we do connect? Oh, man, you know, sorry you fell. That looks very sore. Come sit on my lap. Let's make it all better. And then maybe a little bit later, let's talk about how it's not so clever to walk along, you know, the wall with your eyes closed. But it's amazing, and this is a serious point for parents, is you lose your kids that way when you don't empathize with them. When they see you as the person that is constantly pointing out where they mess up, and they mess up all the time. But our first place is we need to be a place of love and acceptance and warmth and healing. And then we need to guide them with honesty. And it's the same for you in your marriage. That when your spouse is hurting, it may feel like an opportune moment because you're having the conversation. But sometimes that is the worst time to tell them what they did wrong. And yet, because we fear conflict and we, you know, hey, you know, the conversation's on the table, let me just say what you did wrong, just so that it can be clear that most of your hurt is actually your own fault. And us guys, we can be terrible at that. We like Mr. Fix-It. You know, it's like our wives are some machine that you just need to kind of plug things in the right way and they'll work again. And listen, some of you wives are also like that. So, you know, we need to handle our honesty with a huge amount of wisdom, because there's great power and it's needed. But also, it can make things worse. We need to handle honesty with humility, understanding that ultimately, it's God who provides the healing. And yes, God may use you, but He may also use someone else. And it's having the humility to say, amen, God, if you want to use me to be honest with someone, then I want to be used. But there's a kind of a complex that we can have sometimes as disciples. It's called a Savior's complex. It's kind of a complex where we all of a sudden, it's like, okay, Jesus and God, get out of the way. I'm here to help fix this scenario. And you know, a way to kind of define the Savior's complex is in a saying like this. And maybe you don't think this, but maybe you act this way. If I always help people in need, I will get their love and approval, and I will have a happy life. And I think sometimes it's nice people, you know, you can go around and you can feel like, man, I need to help you and I need to help you. And when people hurt you, take it on yourself. And absolutely, we need to empathize. But it can be unhealthy to feel all of people's pain on you. And I don't know if you are kind of wired that way. I don't know if you've ever felt like, man, I'm feeling it more than they're even feeling it. Like, man, why don't you fix yourself? You know, it's just what you're going through is so terrible. And they're like, just back off. You can have the Savior complex where you feel like you need to fix everything, or you know, if people are going to heal, it's all up to you. And we need to have the humility to say, I need to figure out, you know, what is my role here? Where do I fit in? I need the Holy Spirit to guide me here, instead of just taking on this mantle of being the Savior. And you know, healthy living, if you struggle with a Savior complex, healthy living involves giving and receiving. And sometimes we can kind of get this false sense of, man, if I just give, then I'm being like Jesus. And if that's you, then you need to study this out. You need to read up on it, get some advice. But healthy living, a healthy spiritual life, you need to be able to receive sometimes. You need to be able to be weak so that other people can be strong in your life and for you. And you know, it's tough, but if that's you, you need to work on it. You aren't actually helping people by trying to be their savior. They need to see God as their savior and not you. I want to close out by saying and reminding us that honesty is painful, but go and look for it. And I appreciate my wife so much in this. My wife, she's in many ways, I use her as kind of my moral compass, because she experiences things in multicolor. And you know, when she's feeling something, she expresses. She's like, man, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking, I'm not sure if it's right. And she expresses. And there's something that she does very often, not all the time, because sometimes she doesn't need me to be honest with her. She just needs to tell me. But so often, when she's kind of talked through what she's thinking, she says, James, what do you think? What do you think of what I'm thinking? And it's just, it's this absolute rare occasion where I need to bring something up with her that she hasn't asked for first. I want to encourage you in your discipling relationships, in your marriage, in your friendships, ask those difficult questions. What do you see in me? I currently give myself a 10 out of 10. Or maybe even an 8 out of 10. You know, maybe the person that you ask, they'll say, hey, listen, pat on the back, I give you a 10 out of 10. But I'm pretty sure if you spend some time with the people who know you the best and you ask them enough, understanding that, like me, many of them have a weakness with being honest and they just want to be nice. But if you ask them enough, what do you think can be different? What do you think I can change? I think that you will benefit tremendously from it. How could I have done it differently? How am I seeing this wrong? It's the thing about pride. You tend to see things your way. And you might not know, or you might not feel like, well, this is the only way. But sometimes you just need another perspective. Someone just to say, hey, the way you're thinking is not necessarily right. And it saves a whole lot of confusion to ask. If you don't ask, then what you are expecting is you're expecting other people to initiate those conversations. And absolutely, we need to initiate if we need to initiate. But have the humility to ask. Have the humility to say, what do you think? Show me. Help me. And I think for many of you, that's a missing ingredient in your life. That humility to ask for surgery, to go in search of surgery. Think of an operation. Going back to the first thought this morning. Go back to an operation. It's sore, absolutely. You don't really want it. Wasn't on your list of things to do that year or in your life. And it takes time to recover. But you're glad you had it. And church, I want to encourage us to embrace healing in ourselves and in one another by embracing honesty. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father God, it's